Episode 3. A lack of communication? You must be joking. Welcome to this cast from Global Integration. In this series, we'll share our ideas on what is different about working in large, complex, matrix and virtual organisations. These ideas come from our work with over 300 major multinationals, and delivering over 100,000 participant days of training in over 40 countries. If you apply these practical ideas, you can make your team or organisation faster, less expensive to run, and more satisfying to work in. You can find out more about us at globalintegration.com or our blog lifeinamatrix.com. In this episode, I'll be talking to Kevin Hall, CEO of Global Integration and author of the book Speed Lead, about communication in complex companies. Kevin, it seems as if the solution to every business problem is more communication. Would you agree with that?
Well, whenever I'm asked this question, it always reminds me of a team I worked with in California a few years ago. I was asked to speak to a project manager whose project was running very late. And I asked him, how do your people spend their time? He said, boy, are we busy. First thing in the morning, we have a conference call with our colleagues in Europe. We typically spend half our day in meetings. We get about 75 emails each per day. We are in conference calls. And in the evening, we have to check in with our colleagues in Asia and make sure everything's coordinated. I said, boy, that sounds busy. He said, yeah. I said, well, what do you think's the problem then? Why do you think you're so delayed? And he looked at me with a completely straight face and said, I think it's a lack of communication. I nearly laughed out loud. How could it be a lack of communication? That's all they do. My question was, how do you ever get any work done when you're spending your whole day communicating? What we found in working with large, complex companies is that lack of communication is really a problem of the past. The problem today is too much poor quality communication. In our survey at speedleading.com, 1,200 people tell us they get an average of 56 emails per day, and 55% of those are completely unnecessary. That's 7,000 emails per person per year. We also work with companies where the average is 200 emails a day. So for some companies, it's a lot worse. We did a calculation for one of our clients. They had 10,000 people who got regular emails, an average of 75 emails per person per day. And we tried to imagine what would happen if you printed out those emails, each email on one piece of paper. So forget attachments, forget long emails, just one piece of paper per email. And then you piled them up. What would it look like? And we worked out that it would generate a pile of paper 19,000 metres high. That's 50% higher than the cruising altitude of a commercial jet. So next time you're on a business trip, look out the window, look how high you are, and imagine a pile of emails 50% higher than that. As another point of reference, Everest is 8,850 metres. So it's more than twice the height of Everest. And email is only one example. Instant messenger, telephone and other interruptions are constant. What we also know from people who provide these technologies is that with new tools coming along, they expect the volume of communication to triple in the next 5 years. So we think the volume of communication is now so high that we sometimes can't see the few important messages that are hidden in all this mass of irrelevancy.
What is the impact of too much communication then on the companies that you work with?
Well, there's an obvious cost issue in wasted time and also in the missed communication, the important messages that don't get dealt with. Some of our clients have done internal surveys and calculated that between 15 and 25% of all staff time is spent on processing emails. Now, if half of these are unnecessary, it follows that somewhere between 8 and 13% of all time in large companies is spent on unnecessary emails. That's a massive cost. The second is the quality of the output. If people are constantly interrupted, then they're not doing their best work. You imagine you're working on a topic and you're interrupted by an email or a phone call. What happens is you disconnect from the work you're doing now. You go through a little trough of attention. You connect to the interruption. You deal with that. You disconnect from the interruption. And then hopefully you come back to your original task. Now, quite often people, when they're distracted, don't go back to the original task, so that gets lost. Quite often when people are interrupted, they don't go back to the original task. They're then interrupted again and again. But let's imagine you did go back to that original task. The impact of being distracted, engaging, disengaging, re-engaging is equivalent to having a 10-point reduction in your IQ over that period. Now, given that people are interrupted on average about every 8 minutes in organisations, that means people are permanently operating as if they're 10 points more stupid than they actually are. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have 10 IQ points to spare every day. The third issue is dissatisfaction. People feel overwhelmed with unnecessary communications, and they feel guilty if they don't respond to things like email. So it causes a level of stress, a level of distraction, a level of dissatisfaction amongst people, which is completely preventable.
Well, that sounds fair enough, but what do you think we should actually do about it?
Well, the first step is to disconnect from unnecessary communication. And unnecessary communication is very often a symptom of unnecessary cooperation. And episodes 1 and 2 of these podcasts are about just that. So review that if you haven't seen it already. Secondly, disconnect from the kind of information that people send you for your information. So CCs of emails are a great example of this. Also, even worse, blind copies or other for your information type emails. I tend to divide communication by email into push and pull. Push communication means I want to give you a message in order to get you to do something. So if you want me to do that, please send it to me, not CC, and please tell me in the subject line what it is you want, what action you want me to follow. All other communication is pull. It's stuff you think I might need, things I may want to look up in the future. What I'd like you to do with those is to put them on a server somewhere, on an intranet, or host them somewhere, so that if I am interested, I can come and look for them. And when we worked with a client a few years ago, we got them to put their corporate reporting on a survey and count the number of hits. What they found was almost no one looked at that stuff. So step one of putting it on a server might give you the confidence to see in the future, we just don't need to provide this information at all. Now, by now, I expect you'll be feeling uncomfortable. This disconnection feels risky. And you're right. If you delete all your emails, you may occasionally miss something important. I personally think that the time we save is worth the occasional missed email. After all, if it's really important, people are going to call you back. You must have heard the story about people who come back from vacation to find 1,000 emails in their inbox and decide to take the risk and delete the lot. And of course, what happens is only a handful actually follow up on their original emails. Now, it's for you to decide what's the right level for you. I'm going to challenge you here and say you can disconnect from a lot of this stuff, but depending on your corporate culture, your own tolerance for information, you might decide you want to get these emails. But remember, 7,000 a year for the rest of your career.
Now, we have a wide range of communications technology available to us today, but does it help us or does it actually make the problem worse?
Well, communications technology is just a tool. It's how we use that tool that makes it help or hinder. The technology doesn't force us to be bad, but it can make it very easy. I think there are a number of aspects to this. First is choosing the right technology for the task. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. The process for doing that is written up in chapter 3 of my book, Speed Lead. So I'm going to focus on some other things in this podcast. The second one is getting trained in the technology you already have. The vast majority of listeners will use tools like Outlook or Word and Excel. But when I ask people in our training, have you ever been trained to use these tools? Typically, less than 20% of people have received any formal training in the tools they use every day. And I can hear people saying in the background, well, I've been using Outlook for 10 years. Who needs training? Well, if you already know how to do things like auto-filing, color coding, prioritization, etc., well done. Most people don't. My experience in my corporate career was that whenever I moved into a new job, I'd do two things. I'd do a systems audit, so what tools are people using? And then I'd check, have you been trained to use these systems? And invariably people hadn't. And I would force people to go on refresher training on the tools, and everybody hated it. We don't need to go on the training. We've been using this tool for ages. Universally, they came back from the training saying, I didn't know it did that. So take my advice, get trained in the tools you already have. Thirdly, I think there's a problem of ownership. Who is responsible for email culture? And when I ask companies this question, the usual answer is we all are. And as you know, we all are means no one does anything. There probably will be legal and IT policies in place for use of email, but rarely do companies really focus on the etiquette. How do we use email? Although the internet is full of them, not many companies have been able to implement that. Now, if a topic's wasting around 10% of headcount in my company, I'd want somebody managing it.
So is there anything else that's different about communication in the large complex companies that you work with?
When I first learned about communication, I understood that it was my job as the communicator to make sure that the message got through to the individual. I think now communication has become quite passive. I've sent you an email, or worse, I've sent a link to my website for you to follow, therefore my job is done. So I think we have to get back to a more active style of communication rather than passively spraying information and links around. The second thing is the lack of spontaneous communication. In a traditional face-to-face team, you bump into people regularly throughout the day. You have a chat in the morning, you bump into people at coffee breaks, at lunch, at the water cooler. In a distributed and virtual team, there are very few opportunities to do this. And so I replace that within my team by something I call planned spontaneous communication. So I try and virtually bump into my team members every 10 days or so, and the form of that's just a telephone call. But the call is, how was your week? What's happening? Not with a specific business objective. And the reason I do this is because if your boss is remote from you, there's a tendency that the only time they call you is when there's a problem or they want something. So you learn not to look forward to those calls because they're all extra work. So what I prefer to do is just connect. How was your week? And 80% of the time, we just have a laugh, share a few stories, tell each other what it's like in the airport, etc. But 20% of the time, people will say, oh, while you're on the phone, and something useful will come out. So try and think about how can you top up that tank of goodwill through planned, spontaneous communication on a regular basis. I think this is an enormous problem in large, complex companies. It's causing delay, it's causing cost, and it's causing dissatisfaction. I think with a little thought, we can reduce the quantity and improve the quality of communication. And I'd like you to start with your own communication. Statistically, if 50% of the emails that arrive in your company are rubbish, perhaps 50% of the ones you send out are as well. So that's a great start. Improve your communication and then expect the same from others. The rest is up to you. Good luck.
Well, thank you, Kevin. That was certainly a new insight to the problem, and I hope our audience enjoyed this podcast as a result. But it is worth remembering that the value of these ideas actually comes from you putting them into practice. So why not give a couple of them a try to see if they work for you? You can find out more from Kevin's book, Speed Lead, Faster, Simpler Ways to Manage People, Projects and Teams in Complex Companies. You can join the debate, ask questions or add comments about this podcast at our blog, lifeinamatrix.com. Finally, you can see more about global integration, download free articles, or contact us about our consulting and training services at globalintegration.com.